the NBC News Radio Broadcasting Studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in California. I would say not so sunny today, mostly over cloudy and overcast. Thanks for tuning into the Water Zone today. I wish I could say sunny California. They say it never rains in California, but boy, was somebody wrong when they said that.
Yeah, they changed the lyrics to that song to "It Never Stops Raining in Sunny Southern California."
No. Well, anyway, I'm your host, Rob Starr, along with our wonderful host, Mr. Chris Davies, and he's here.
Thank you very much, Rob.
And it's been a crazy week. It really poured the other day, and we're gonna have our first guest on and talk about some of the rain and what it's doing to our dams, and they're releasing the water again, and got to find some places to store these things. So anyway, anything new on your end?
Not really, but I did notice a little hobble in your wobble as you walked in the studio today. You doing all right?
Yes, I am. I was actually lifting some little tiny river rocks out of my wife's car that she bought to fill in some spots in our yard. And they're like 75-pound bags, and I guess I'm not used to tossing them around as much as I used to when I was younger. So, yeah, it's just like right around my chest all the way to my back. I guess I pulled kind of a muscle. Or use the muscle I never used.
Well, I certainly hope you feel better real soon, Rob.
I do, too, because I know she has more work for me planned this weekend. So
yeah.
I guess I got to do that. So anyway.
Yeah, more stuff to do this weekend. So
more
be,
stuff
so
to
be
do.
Careful.
All yeah, right. It's the things we need to do. You know, I always wanted to go to the HID thing, hire it done.
Yeah, hire it done.
And she's to the point that, no, I don't want to pay for that. You do it.
Yeah, you
every
do
man
it.
In the country does all this stuff. How come you don't know how to do it? She doesn't get it.
Yep. Hey, well, let's see what's on California Water News, shall we?
Absolutely. So let's bring in our wonderful lady from the Maven's Notebook. She's the purveyor of that, and she is the most interesting woman in water.
And thank you.
Well, it's the truth.
Welcome, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. Where do you think we get all our information about the news from?
Hey, it's none other than me, I hope.
Yeah, it's not from CBS or ABC. We get it from you.
You're right. Dang right there.
Absolutely.
Hey, guess what where I was today?
Where?
I was the keynote speaker at a dedication event at Seven Oaks Dam, which is right down there in your neck of the woods.
Right, sure is.
Why didn't you tell me? We would have came there and covered it.
Yeah. It was quite a full event, and it was raining, so they had a little tent for us there, but... they started this new project. They built Seven Oaks Dam. When they built it, that actually ended up creating some new water and some new water rights. And so, you know, you really do have some very forward-thinking water managers there in the Santa Ana watershed who actually, when the Army Corps first proposed the dam, it was going to be down too low and going to cover up some of their recharge base, and so they worked with the Army Corps to move it upstream, and then they worked to get the water rights that would be captured behind that dam. Now, that dam is the fourth tallest dam in the United States. It's huge. I don't know if you've ever been out there. It's a lost gate. You can't go beyond it, but they did take us up there today. What they're doing is they're going to be taking water that's captured behind that, behind the dam, and they're going to be moving it into recharge basins to replenish the groundwater there, because you know the groundwater basin is in not good shape.
Yep.
So this project is going to help them capture more water for recharge. And what's unique about it is that they're reaching down and kind of trying to use the water that in the past has been considered kind of not suitable for recharge because it's heavily sediment laden.
Yeah.
And generally, if you move that into your percolation ponds, then you're going to have to have it scraped out at some point.
Yeah, you got blockage and everything else.
Yeah. So what they've done is they've created some sedimentation basins to take that sediment out before it gets to the recharge pond. So they're going to be able to capture more water. And they're looking to capture, I think, like 60,000 acre feet a year that they want to move into that groundwater basin so that, you know, in times of drought, they can pull that out.
Yep.
And it's been a collaborative effort with a lot of the water agencies there in the area. I mean, it stretches. The benefits of this project stretch like San Bernardino, Rialto, Colton, out to Redlands and Yucaipa, and then all the way down to Temecula.
Yeah.
See, I'm remembering parts of my speech. So it's a great project. And
right.
Afterwards, they took us on a tour. So, you know, we had a dam tour. I'm not cussing, so you don't need to beat that out.
Right.
I gave my dam speech, and then we had a dam tour. And it rained. It rained steadily. Not hard, but, you know, steadily coming down through the whole event and through the whole tour. But it's really something. I mean, that dam is tall, and they have a lot of water stored back there right now. And they're going to be working on releasing out that water slowly and, you know, starting to move that into the groundwater basin. So
when you said you were at the commemoration, what did you say, the dedication or commemoration for that dam?
Yeah, it's a dedication for the first phase of this project.
Okay, but the dam is there is already water behind the dam?
Yeah, the dam was constructed in 2000.
Yeah.
They've been working to, you know, utilize the water and get the water rights. I think they said that they didn't get the water rights from the State Water Board to like 2005. And then they did have a recharge project that they did at that point, but they have now enhanced the project, added the sedimentation basin so they can take more of the water. So they're working to be more efficient and use more of the water that's available behind that dam. And it's been an amazingly wet year, as you know, so there's a lot of water behind that dam.
I wish maybe they should talk to the people with the Shasta about the 18.5 feet they want to raise it.
Oh, boy, is that a hot-button issue. You know, the state attorney general filed a lawsuit against Westland for wanting to raise the dam.
Yeah. He's filing lots of lawsuits. I've never seen an attorney general file so many lawsuits against a federal government.
I think I've heard in the past sometimes that's what they do. No one should ever be surprised that a lawsuit is filed over some California water project. That's not surprising.
No. But I mean, in general, there's been a lot of lawsuits coming from California.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I have to admit, I was surprised to see the state jump in and draw up a lawsuit because they seem to be, at least up until that point, kind of being not staying one way or another. You know, I believe there's some sort of legislation that was passed that said that the state would never participate in the raising of Shasta Dam. So this is a federal project, and the Bureau of Reclamation cannot come in and do a project in any state without a local partner there. So, like, they can't unilaterally come in and say, we're going to do this, and I know you object, but so what? We're doing it. No, they have to have a local partner. And so they have Westland, so, you know, as their local partner. So the state sued Westland as the,
right.
You know, agency. So, yeah, it was. We were all kind of surprised by that, by the who, not the lawsuit.
Right. Absolutely. So, excuse me. So, with all these rains that are happening, I guess from what I understand, this is really delaying and damaging crops, both for strawberries and wine and other things I've read.
Yeah, always two sides to the coin, right? I mean, you see all extra rain and 15 more inches of snow in the Sierras, but somebody's always got another view of what's going on.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the beauty of irrigated agriculture, especially in California, is that, you know, the farmers, once they plant their crops, they don't really want the rain. They want to apply the water. They're very precise. We want to apply the water this much at this time with our fertilizers and whatever. And when the rain comes, it just kind of messes everything up, especially when they're not, you know, not we're not used to having rain in May. So, like, it really, like, the cherry crop, I believe, has been damaged, and the strawberry crop
The cherry thing, they say it splits the cherries in half?
Yeah. They get wet at the wrong
swell
time
too much.
For some crops. It's devastating. You know, so, yeah, it's, you know, two sides to every story, but no worries, we'll be all, you know, in 100-degree weather soon enough, is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And after, you know, the 2016 and the big drought and the big dry year, it's really hard to complain about rain, at least for me.
No, absolutely. In one of your articles, you talked about the temperature shifts, like in Phoenix, has dropped 15 degrees below normal. I was there from Friday through Sunday, this past Friday through Sunday in Phoenix, and the weather was really pleasant. It was beautiful at night. Even went to a baseball game at Chase Stadium, and it was, you know, I'm walking in, and my wife was with me. She joined me on Saturday night, and she said, "Oh, I'll bring a jacket to the game." And I go, "No, I think the stadium's enclosed, and it's a covered stadium." But when we got there, the whole roof opened up. It was, and as we're getting out of the car and walking in, everybody, there was not one person that had a jacket or a coat. And my wife has hers. I go, "Pam, I don't think anybody's bringing their jacket. It's got to be warm in there, right?" And it was. It was really nice.
Yeah. You know, it actually must be really nice weather to be down in the desert southwest at this point. You know, Imperial County is really really nice in the January and February months when the weather is so mild, and it's cold everywhere else, and you can run around in a t-shirt in this beautiful 70, 75 degree weather, like with the sun shining. It's really quite
I'm
beautiful.
Ready for that. Chris, are you ready for that?
Maybe.
I
like the cooler weather.
There's beer there.
Oh, there. Yeah.
He's there then. So what else has been exciting in the news?
Well, you know, the big announcement, which is not much. And, you know, so this has the people from Westlands pointing out that in a wet year like this, if you can only deliver 70%, it really, you know, poses problems. And actually, there's some unique problems going on. And in part why they weren't able to get their full allocation, as they weren't either back in when we had the really wet year in 2017. Part of that is because groundwater pumping in the Central Valley has caused subsidence, and that subsidence has affected the California Aqueduct and the Delta Mendota Canal. These are two major canals that take water out of the Delta. And when, you know, these are canals that are engineered very precisely to have a grade, and it has to be a continuous downgrade, right? And when you have a part of it sink, then you have a pool of water, and you can't push water through the canal nearly as effectively. And they have had some severe capacity issues. They just can't move the water, get all the same amount of water down to San Luis Reservoir, which is the main reservoir that feeds the south of Delta Ag. So, and then also subsidence continues with the output out of that reservoir onto the valley floor. So, you know, they have some infrastructure issues that need to be dealt with. I mean, it's not only the California Aqueduct and the Delta Mendota Canal, but also on the other side of the valley, we have the Fryant-Kern Canal, which is also has subsidence impacts, and their capacity has been cut severely, like I think up as much as 40% that they can't. So these are all really inhibiting how water can be moved around the valley and, you know, from the delta to the reservoirs and from the reservoirs out to the farm. So this subsidence, which is caused by groundwater overdraft, is really a pretty serious issue.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different issues in water these days. You know, I was also reading a thing about still California's worrying about the algae blooms.
Oh, well, yeah. The algae blooms, they're coming, and they're going to be coming, I mean, not just to California. It's becoming almost a worldwide problem. We've seen this in Florida and other parts of the United States as well, in the Great Lakes, you know. And this is, you know, this is caused, I think, a lot by nutrients in the waterways. This is generally outputs from agricultural fields as well as wastewater treatment plants. We dump the stuff into the rivers, and the algae now, you know, the harmful algae blooms kind of feed off of that.
Right.
So it's important. We should point out to the listeners that if you're planning to go out to a body of water this summer in California, you really should be checking at mywaterquality.com. You know, is the water safe to swim in? And check for, closures and warnings of harmful algae blooms. If you take your dog out and they drink from this water that has these algae blooms in it, it's toxic to them, and they will die. So you really want, if you're, you know, again, I want to stress to your listeners, if you're going to be out in a water body in California or probably really anywhere, you should make sure you check the water quality. And, you know, if there's problems, you really don't want to be swimming in it, and you want to make sure your dogs don't drink it if you take your pets with you.
All right.
Hey, so another story, as we got a couple of minutes left here, Rob, on Maven's notebook. I was enthralled by reading that whole deal about that abandoned iron mine in Joshua Tree and the plan to use that as a hydroelectric power project. I mean, that's got to be years and years away.
This project gets off the ground.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting. Pumped storage, trying to find ways to store power. And this is actually almost an old school sort of way of doing it. But, you know, you have a reservoir that's higher up and a reservoir that's lower down, and you run the water down and create the power during the day when the power prices are high, and when the power prices drop at night, you pump it back up to the reservoir, and it's just sort of this closed-loop system that just, you know, goes round and round.
Yeah.
It's actually highly effective. These types of projects, we do this here in Southern California already. Pyramid Lake up in northern L.A. County,
mm-hmm.
There is a 7-mile tunnel that goes down to Castaic Lake, and it goes through a power plant that's run by the Department of Water and Power, and that's actually a very key power source to the power grid here in Southern California. And the beauty about these kinds of projects is that the one thing about hydropower is you flip the switch, you run the water down, and it turns the turbine, and boom, you have electricity right away. If you have to fire up a turbine, there's a whole process to that. You just don't. It's not like you go over and you press the button and the turbine comes on and voila, electricity comes. I mean, there's a whole process to starting that up, and it takes time, but hydropower is right there. You just start, you know, open the gate, send the water down, boom, you got power. So that's why these pump storage projects, they do make sense where it, you know, in some places. Not sure if that's one of them. Part of the problem is when you locate these projects way out in the middle of the desert, and they generate all this power, this renewable energy, that's great. But you now have to take that power and you have to bring it into the city, which means you have to string power lines.
Yeah.
And power lines are not popular, not for people living there. And also, you know, there's impacts to power lines. There's wildlife impacts to having them. And nobody wants to live next to a power line, really, yeah. really.
No.
So unless yeah. you like to have your hair kind of up above your head a lot.
Yeah, so. I guess the question for me was, you know, since this is a project that's probably way, way out there, time-wise, right? And the onset of renewable, you know, solar and wind power and all that kind of stuff, just looking or being amazed at the fact that that our state or our federal government is looking at spending funds on this when other renewable forms of energy are taking such a large part of the landscape these days.
And, you know, also they're making progress on developing batteries to store large amounts of electricity, because that's really the issue with power, with electricity, is that we can't store it. It has to be generated as it's used. And we are making technological advancements
for storing electricity,
you know, in large volumes. I mean, you can now get solar panels and you can store that. There's a battery you can get that stores your house that can power it when you need it. But, scaling that up to a utility size is a challenge. But we're making progress. And, you know, chances are by the time they would get that built, and pump storage is kind of like essentially a battery of sorts, we may have much better technology available to us right here in our city.
Well, the thing with batteries is if you don't pretty much fully discharge them, meaning use the charge that you've stored up, and you start, say it only goes down 25% or 20%, and you keep recharging it at the minus, you know, the below the 20% level, you'll never get a full charge again. It has a memory.
Battery memory, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but again, technology is improving that. I mean, like my laptop, you know, that used to be the recommendation, the laptop, but it's not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, my laptop doesn't really care. It gives me 5 hours anytime I unplug it. You know, technology is making great advancements, and there's great interest in having electrical storage.
I mean,
if we could store the wind power and, you know, when the wind is blowing and use that when it's not, that's, you know, these are great advancements. And I really do think that technology is going to come.
Yes,
so
I agree.
So do we need pump storage in Joshua Tree? I don't know.
Yeah.
but I think you're right. I mean, we need to keep developing technology for the future. That's
sure.
going to help us of anything else.
And having some backup plans like this, right? That's always good to have.
Yep.
Chris,
yeah,
I think we're getting up to our mid-show break here. And so, Rob is going to tell you where he's left up here.
Chris is
I think he's leaving.
He's staring at me.
Hey, so all our listeners, Chris, thanks for being on the show. Awesome to have you as always.
And most important, if people want to read.
Yep, go to mavensnotebook.com.
They can become a sponsor of that as well.
Yep.
And get daily updates and find out everything that you need to know before you hear it on the news and then fall off your chair when they find out they're raising your rates 200%. So,
right.
Chris, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming
on. Thank you, guys.
And
have a great evening.
You have a good Memorial and safe weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so everybody stick around. We're going to be ready in a few minutes. Come back for our second guest. And
use with innovation for effective performance, improved working conditions, and for use with potable water. Now available in a medium-bodied, fast-setting blue formula, 905 Eco, and a regular-bodied, fast-setting clear formula, 900 Eco. Pick up a can today from your local distributor and see, smell, and feel the difference, just like Joe Sweat, president of Sunrise Irrigation, did. He said, after using Weldon's 905 Eco, we immediately noticed the application was smooth and there was noticeably less odor than other blue solvent cements on the market. The guys love it. To learn more about Eco Solvent Cements from Weldon, visit the website at www.weldon.com or call the technical service hotline at 877-477-8327. That's 877-477-8327.
Time to take a water break and talk some water. Irrigation. Such a refreshing topic. As more and more markets face water restrictions, your customers may be hungry, or should I say thirsty, for water-saving products. For new installations, add options like drip irrigation, controllers that respond to weather data, pressure regulating heads, or heads with check valves. They all provide easy ways to differentiate your bids and win more jobs. Or for an extra stream of revenue, offer existing customers upgrades like high efficiency nozzles, rotary nozzles, or Wi-Fi based controllers. Because when you help your customers save water, you make a world of difference for the earth and your bottom line at the same time. We'll drink to that.
All right, well, welcome back to the Water Zone, the second half. Hope everybody's doing good, and I'm just signaling my engineer. Yeah, if you twist the knob back and forth a few times, it sounds like it's a dirty potentiometer. Now I can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah,
for a second before there you were.
Yeah, it was gone. So it's got to be a dirty pot. We need some spray in there. Someone to do it. I got some Coke you can pour into it now. No, it's Pepsi, actually, so that wouldn't help. Anyway, we have our next guest, a gentleman that both Chris and I know.
Yeah.
And we, just for clarification, we have nothing to do with this company. We don't own any shares of the company, but we've known him, and he has an interesting product, so we wanted him to come on the show. He is the founder and inventor of a company called Valvette Systems, and he has some pretty neat products we're going to talk about. So his name is Mr. Ted Serkin. Ted, welcome to the Water Zone.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be there. I appreciate it very much.
You're good. Let me tell you, I know you have some really interesting things, so let me give you our phone number out if I can, in case anybody wants to call in. If you do want to call in and speak to Chris or me, and maybe our guest, I'm just kidding, you can call 888-909-1050, or if you're in a local area, it's 909-792-5222. And please ask questions. We love people to call and ask questions. A lot of times they just email in the questions, but I'd rather talk to them on air. So we can hear what they sound like and make fun of them. No, we don't do that. So, Ted, tell me how you got into this business.
The business of irrigation and landscaping. I actually did this. I started in landscaping 60 years ago, back when long before we even had plastic pipe and we only had galvanized pipe. That was very interesting. I thought you were
45.
The little valves and the products that we now make under Valvette Systems all came about after I went back and forth to the controller the 30 millionth time just to fix a sprinkler and to adjust a sprinkler.
Wow.
So I got tired of doing that, and I said, if we could send a man to the moon, why can't we shut off a sprinkler in the middle of this operation? And we set about to do that, and we did just that.
Wow. So you formed a company called Valvette Systems.
Right, that actually means little valve in French.
Ah, oui, oui. Parlez-vous français?
No.
Oh.
No.
Je m'appelle Robert. Comment ça va? Je vais très bien, merci. Okay, I won't do that.
He's showing off now.
I can do Cantonese, Chinese, but anyway, so what is, what Valvette has a whole plethora of products.
Basically, they're all water conservation products, except for our flushing cross, which is a
tool,
which is a tool that you use when you don't have little valves.
Okay.
And mainly the products are all sprinkler related. We only help you on the big rotors if the sprinkler is above grade, because you have to have access to the little valve itself.
Right.
But we make the products in different ways. We cover all of the needs of a guy putting in sprinklers. There's two types of sprinklers. There's the pop-up sprinklers, and then there's the permanent above grade shrub adapter type of sprinklers that you find in gardens.
Right.
And in flowers and bushes,
right?
And we make sprinklers parts for both of those.
Now you also do another thing which I read about, which is your water conservation shower arms.
So inside the home stuff as well as outside the home stuff.
Yeah, we took the same
technology, plumbing products,
just a little smaller little valve, and we put them into a shower arm. And the shower arm is the arm that comes out of the tiled wall, and to which at the end is the shower head. So the bottom line is, with our little valves in there, the person who is paying the water bill can now take over the water flow as opposed to the person being in the shower.
So
we make the shower arms in 6-inch and 8-inch, and we make the shower arm adapters, which does the exact same thing as the shower arm, only it's lesser price, it's easier to install, but you can see it. It's an adapter that goes between the shower head and the shower arm. But the dollar and water savings is magnanimous, and you don't just save on water, you save on the heating of the water and the disposal of the water, in other words, the sewer fees.
Yeah. So can you take a minute and just kind of, if you can, for our listeners, quantify what sort of water savings that users can expect?
Well, when you first put on the adapter, for example, you're going to save 8 to 9% of the water, sewer, and heating of the water right off the get-go without making any adjustments. And when you put on the shower arm, you're going to save about 4 to 5% immediately without making any adjustments. And we've seen through our experimentation, you can see it on our website where we actually have a video of the shower arm. You can take it down to as much as a quarter of a turn, and when you get to a quarter of a turn of the little valve, you're actually saving almost 20 to 21% of the water and the sewer and the heating of the water. And you won't feel any difference when you first install the unit. If you take it down the quarter of a turn, you'll feel a difference. It'll be a little bit lighter shower, but the savings are magnanimous. And getting into dollars and cents, we've kind of calculated out that what an average person uses when they take a shower in the three charges that they're going to face, the three charges I just mentioned, it's going to come out to approximately 4 cents a gallon. So if you take a 10-minute shower, and you're putting out, let's say, one and a half gallons a minute, you are saving, whatever the figure is, you're going to save 8, 9, 10, or 21% of that, however you adjust it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on
the calibration.
A 10-minute shower and you have a 2-gallon-a-minute shower. Oh, most showers nowadays are 2 gallons a minute.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So if you've got 2 gallons, you got a 10-minute shower, you're using 20 gallons of water.
Yep.
So if you're saving 10% of that, you're going to save 2 gallons. You're going to save 2 gallons.
Yeah.
Nor are these.
You're going to save 8 cents. You got to calculate it. I'm sorry, I'm not better prepared for that. But you got to calculate it out. But it tremends over the year. It becomes a big number.
Yep. So it just depends on the calibration and what you get into, right? How much savings you can achieve.
Exactly. Management, especially on hotels and motels,
right.
They'll turn on the showers. And many hotels and motels you go to, by the way, people are not even satisfied with the water anyway, or the water is actually too hard. In fact, in my case, that's exactly how I came up with the shower arm with the little valve, is because the water was just beating my brains in. It was more than I'm comfortable with.
Right, right.
Other people like hard showers, but you're not going to notice much difference if you take it like 10, 15% down. You really won't feel a big difference. And I want to tell you something else. You will get accustomed to saving money and taking slightly, not having the water hit you so hard.
So I would view that as the biggest market for that is both in new and commercial applications, or is it in retrofits?
I believe initially it's going to be in retrofits only, Rob, because you've got to get people used to using the products, and I think that for hotels and motels it's a natural, but also for military bases, battleships, cruise ships, gyms, all of these people will save a ton of water, and the good news is that management makes the decision on the water flow, not the guy in the shower.
Well, you I guess, have a, I'm sure you have a patent for this.
Yes,
of course. So yeah. I think it would be really cool if you had a big guy like Kohler or Moen or somebody like that and license something that you can stick in there. Shower units and people can adjust it at home and stuff, and that would be, you know, you'd sell the product and they sell the product. But right now they have to only get. Is there places they can buy it from? Right now
they would buy it through me.
Okay. We have a caller. If you want to take a call.
Okay, fine.
His name is Marty. I didn't get his last name. The engineer told me, but we'll put him on. So Marty, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Ask away.
So you're talking about the little valve stopping the flow of water, reducing the flow of water. How is this going to affect a sprinkler system? How is it going to affect the pattern flow? How is the little valve device going to affect the efficiency of the spray on a sprinkler?
You know, I'm really glad you asked that question. There's been a person who's no longer with us, has passed away, named Dr. Joe Hung, and we had to bring him in to find out why we were saving water. As it turns out, the little valve creates a chamber between the little valve itself and the nozzle that's attached to the top of the sprinkler. And that chamber causes the water to go into the nozzle with less turbulence. And because of that, The water is the water comes through the nozzle with less turbulence. That means the water comes out cleaner, smoother, easier. It comes out in such a way that it's not being blasted out through the holes in the sprinkler. It's allowed to be slowly pushed out from the water that's underneath the chamber, and it comes out, and the end result is you get higher efficiency and higher uniformity out of the deal. And you have a lot more other benefits that you get out of it, but that's one of the biggest benefits of it all.
So it ends up being a more uniform spray?
Exactly. Much more uniform spray, and that's why you get higher uniformity out of it, because the water's not being thrown out so turbulently.
Thank you.
Okay. So let me ask you, I understand there's, from what I've read, there's two types of products you have. One's called, a Little Tuffy, and then there's something that you have, which I believe is called an in-stem flow regulator?
No. The Little Tuffy, all of our sprinklers are called in-stem flow regulator. That name was given to us by the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
For the most of your leadership, the MWD just happens to be the largest water purveyor of clean water in the United States of America. In fact, on the North American continent, I think.
Oh.
And they have a rebate program in cooperation with the Department of Reclamation, and our products are the only sprinkler products on that rebate list. You have the high efficiency nozzles, you have the high tech controllers, but the only parts that are actually part of the sprinkler are the in-stem flow regulators. And they gave us that name because they had to give us a generic name. So all of the Little Valve products are called IFRs, okay, short for in-stem flow regulators. Our Little Tuffies are our complete sprinkler. We also are the only people that make replacement stems for many of the manufacturers, and certainly for all three of the major manufacturers. We make the replacement stems in 4-inch size, 6-inch size, and 12-inch size. And so if your sprinklers are good and you want to convert to the Little Valve system, you do not need to tear out your whole sprinkler system, your sprinkler. You can just replace the stem so long as the rest of the sprinkler is in reasonably good condition. And then we have the, that's the stem. You have the complete sprinkler, the Little Tuffy. Yeah, then you have the stems. And then we also have the line of sprinklers that you use for the above-grade shrub adapter types that are permanently above grade that you use in bushes and flowers. And in that group, we have a sprinkler. The one way we can help with rotors is in Southern California a lot, because most of our hillsides are all cut and fill. We do not bury our rotors on hillside slopes. And I think there's other parts of the country that may or may not do that. But there's a tremendous amount of rotors on hillside slopes throughout all the developments in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually shrub rotors or above grade rotors. And it's absolutely insanity not to have that part that we make for those underneath the rotor. Unless you still want a rotor, you can actually shut it down, take the rotor off, open it up, flush the lines, replace the rotor, and you don't have that water making a furrow down the hillside like you normally would have.
Right.
And then you dial in your distance, and the only way you can dial in your distance now without a Little Valve is you have to punch through the rubber cap of a rotor until you find the diffusion screw, and then as soon as you adjust the diffusion screw, you now broaden your arc, and that's how you lower the distance, but you mess up your arc completely.
Right. Hey, so let me ask you a question here, because I've got an email inquiry. We were talking about the Little Tuffy, which, and I just want to point this out for the other listeners, the Little Tuffy, which is a pop-up sprinkler, right? Because we've been talking about rotors and all that kind of stuff, but the Little Tuffy, a question we've got, that's a pop-up sprinkler, right?
Yes, the Little Tuffy is a pop-up sprinkler.
Right, okay.
It's the complete Little Valve sprinkler.
Right. Body and everything, just like
body, spring, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, just stuff. So works on anybody's pop-up, though, if you just do the replaceable stem that you were talking about, right?
And, yeah, you wouldn't
or
use
are
the
there different?
Then. You would just buy the Little Valve stem that you need.
Right. So are there different ones for different models, or is it like a
universal? Oh, yeah, we make all smooth. We make them for Toro and Rainbird and Hunter and Weathermatic and the whole nine yards. In fact, I recently found out that our Rainbird ones that we sell for Rainbirds also work on Hydro Rains or Orbitz and K Rains.
Right, perfect. All right. Well, we got another caller coming in, and we're going to put him on the line. His name is Mike. Listen carefully, listeners, because you might recognize the voice. Mike, are you there?
I sure am. And I'm watching you on the live stream on my PC.
Are you back east?
No, actually, I finally got back.
Oh, okay. You returned, so, yeah.
Went to my daughter's graduation, but I was listening and found out that Ted Sirkin from Valvette was going to be on your show, and I certainly wanted to say hello to Ted. How you doing, Ted?
Good, Michael. How are you doing?
Good, good. And, you know, the saying is a picture is worth a thousand words. And what is the website address, Ted, that people can see your product in action?
You know, we've actually got a few addresses to take you to the same place, but water conservation showers, water, littlevalve.com, valvettesystems.com, and my favorite is watersavingsprinklers.com.
So if I just Google Little Valve, I should find littlevalve.com is where your company has those great pictures of before and after.
Oh yeah, and then we've got a whole section on gallery of the Little Valve, especially with the one of the nozzles that I prefer a lot called the precision rotating nozzle that Toro makes, and we've got a lot of pictures and a lot of videos up there on there.
Well, the thing I think that impresses me the most about your technology is, especially when it's used in combination with the Toro precision rotating nozzle, which is the only gear-driven, rotating nozzle on the market, and that means that it will rotate consistently at a number of different pressures, from low pressures to high pressures. You can basically go from 5 feet up to close to 20 feet with that precision rotating nozzle. And I know if you've got really high pressure, Ted, I think you've gotten it to throw about, 26 feet or so?
Well, yeah, the newer model, the newer improved model, I'm going to suggest a maximum of maybe 21, 22 feet.
Okay, so basically let's say just 5 to 20 to make it easy to remember, 5 to 20 feet.
Sounds like a betting spread to me.
Yeah, you basically are turning this little set screw, or what would you call that screw that's inside?
It is a set screw. It's a 3/16 Allen, and it's on the side of every part.
A 3/16 inch Allen wrench
right.
goes in, and you basically, it's like turning your hose faucet, from off to slightly on to a little bit more on to a little bit more on, and all of a sudden, boom, you've got full distance of throw if you want. And because the rotating nozzle is adjustable arc, which means it can go from 45-degree pattern to a full 270-degree pattern, you've got tremendous versatility with that one single nozzle and one single head. And the beauty of your product, I think, is that if I've got Toro heads in my lawn, which, by the way, I do, the 4-inch, I could just get your 4-inch stem for, any of the local distributors can order those for me.
Right.
Or I can buy them online if I'm a consumer. And boom, I just replace the stem and I've got all of the key performance and functionality of just being able to fine-tune how far I throw, how far my sprinkler throws, and what pattern. And I think
as an extra added bonus,
amazing.
You get complete pressure regulation, or if you want to use the words pressure compensation out of the deal, doesn't matter how high your pressure is. It can be even 150, it can be 175 pounds, it can be 200 pounds of pressure, and as long as the sprinkler doesn't fall apart or your valves don't break, the little valve will do its job and will override all high pressure.
Well, I won't.
And by the way, too, Michael, one of the things that I've also found out, too, we actually find out that we've got some videos on our website there that you'll see the little valve actually going down to 18 inches with the PRN. I happen to be... If you go to my website, you'll see that I'm a total lover of the PRN. It's my most favorite nozzle of all time in my entire 60-year career.
Well, one of the things I really like is that the Toro Precision Spray Nozzle has a family of side strips. And for folks that aren't familiar with side strip nozzles, spray nozzles, they basically create a rectangular pattern,
Right. Right, the side strips are for narrow areas. There's two types of nozzles in this world, radius nozzles and side strip nozzles, and they're very, very much different from each other. And the radius nozzle is any part of the circle, whereas the side strip nozzles are the ones that are very difficult to bring that 15 feet left and right down. And with the little valve and with Toro's PSN, what he's referring to is the precision spray nozzle, you can bring that 4x30 all the way down to about
probably about 7-8 feet left and right, and it still still does a fairly decent job of watering.
Well,
well, listen, I think we've taken over this radio show. Sorry about that.
No, it's absolutely great to have both of you on the air.
No, that's okay. You know, I was trying to be naive about the product. I do have them in my yard as well. And I find when I need to flush out the systems and stuff, it's great to have these on because I can control where I want to flush the stuff.
I can't get to my computer.
Well, yeah. I've always said that the major causes of water waste in California are high pressure, poor scheduling, or basically deferred maintenance.
Right.
Where wiper seals have worn out. And
right.
This product that Valvet System offers, not only does it immediately start saving water upon installation, but in many locations with water agencies, they're rebated.
Yep.
Can you share a little bit about the rebate?
Like I said, the little valve has turned out to be the only sprinkler part on the MWD rebate list. And the MWD covers an area from Ventura County all the way down to the Mexican border. And they give you, by the way, though, the rebate, unfortunately, is strictly for commercial projects. However, that commercial projects includes churches, apartments, condominiums, so anything but a single-family residence. And the rebate in every single water district has the ability, and many do, raise the rebates over what I'm going to tell you. The basic MWD rebate is $1 for the instant flow regulator, which is the little valve, $2 for your high-efficiency nozzles, which includes Toro's PSN and PRN, and all rotating nozzles, as a matter of fact, and then $35 per available station for your controllers. That's pretty much the bread and butter of the MWD rebate program.
So basically, if I'm in an area that is serviced by a water agency that is getting some of its water from Metropolitan Water District, I might very well have at least a $3, perhaps $4 rebate on any type of retrofit that converts my standard sprinkler into a rotating stream nozzle combination with the little valve, which pays for a big percentage of the retrofit cost. So
yeah, and we're working to get more water districts in Northern California, for example, involved in the rebate programs too, because they have them. We just want them to get our products into that program.
Hey Ted, I understand on your websites you have various cities that these things have been installed in. And can you tell us a little about those and the successes you had?
Yeah, I just came back from yesterday. Two days ago, I was at an inspection at the city of Covina. They have them on a parkway on Grand Avenue. A lot of the medium strips in the city of Baldwin Park have been converted now. We're converted to PRNs and little valves. Because I kind of refer to that as the combo, all about. The name implies conserve water. That's what they are, completely all about.
We have a caller who's actually asked our engineer to ask the question. I guess the person had radio shock. So go ahead, Frank.
Hi. I guess the little valve is a hot topic today. All our phone lines are full, so I'm asking him a question directly for him.
Is he paying you? He should make some money on the side. Go ahead.
He asked about, he has a little valve, and he's wondering about the warranty. He had an issue with a screw of some sort, and he's just asking about what kind of warranty you guys offer and how he would go about doing that.
All the little valve parts are guaranteed for 5 years.
Okay.
Except for the wiper seal, which is guaranteed for 2 years. The wiper seal on the little Tuffy. The wiper seal, by the way, is the most abused part of the sprinkler. But even there, we are the company that makes readily available our wiper seals. You can buy them for 50 cents a piece, and it takes about 50 seconds to install them, so it's not even worth driving yourself nuts about. So we make our wiper seals quite available.
How does he contact you?
They would go to our website, send in a contact form, and contact us and let us know they have a problem. Give their telephone number, and I will call them back and take care of it.
Okay, well that's great.
And I verified that they have so few issues with that that you will get amazing quick response from Ted and Little Val if you have any issues with the product.
No, I've
well, I kind of think like a contractor because I've been a contractor for 60 years. So customer service is absolutely a very important thing to me because it was always important to me when I was a contractor buying from other people. So.
Well, Ted, we're up against our NBC News Hour. We have to turn that over to the mothership, otherwise they'll cancel us or something.
Well, I'm just going to have to come back again sometime, Rob.
Yeah, we'd love to have you, Ted. No problem. Great. Absolutely. And you too, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. That was great. And so I